product of Impact International School of Ministry, 3516 South Broad Place, Huntsville, Alabama, 35805. Duplication of this tape is a violation of the tape loan agreement. Please run the tape fast forward to the end when completed. Thank you.
Remember, the mind always seeks equilibrium or seeks balance. There's a lot of different ways to say it. So that means that once you convince yourself of something, your mind has to work in such a way to make that acceptable to you. So, for example, if there's an area that you're not putting in practice, and it's something that you've heard and you're not putting in practice, then one of the things that your mind will do for you is it will help you forget it. It will literally cause you to forget something on a conscious level that you actually know. And that would be a form of equilibrium. I'm afraid to put this in practice. I don't think I know how to put this in practice. I don't intend to put this in practice. So my mind's got to do something with this information now so that I don't feel bad about it. So one of the many things it can do is it can cause you to forget it on a conscious level. And so you will assume that you don't remember it. You'll actually feel as if you don't. Now, of course, when it's said to you, you say, oh yeah. Yeah, I remember, I know that. But that comes about because of a lack of intention to put things to practice. Now, there's another reason that you would have a tendency to forget things, and that would be the lack of significance that you attach. If in your mind you do not see something as important, if you do not establish that it is important and valuable for you, then you will have a tendency to not remember it. That means that the moment you assume something is not valuable, not important, not significant, then your mind will actually, it never leaves your ability to draw it back from your memory, but it leaves your conscious mind, your conscious memory. You know, the conscious memory seeks to hold on to that which you value. And I say that's scary when you think of some of the stupid things that you remember versus some of the valuable things that you forget. So one of the real keys to developing a great memory is attaching significance to what you hear. In other words, you hear something in a class, and it won't happen in the classroom. It'll happen when you go home and review your notes that day, not two or three days later, that day. Two or three days later, it's already gone. But when you go home that day and you review your notes and you begin to attach significance to the things you've learned, you review your notes with the attitude that this is valuable for my life, this is going to add something to my life, it's going to make my life better, this is going to give me something to fulfill my dreams or equip me for ministry, whatever significance you attach to it, then it will stay firmly fixed in your memory. You know, one of the things I've had to do as my level of responsibilities have increased, I've had to make myself not try to remember so many insignificant facts. Because when I was younger, that was a problem. I would just remember everything. I could remember every word of every conversation, when it happened, where it happened, who was there, what everybody said, everything that was involved. And the truth was, I remembered too much trivia. And I don't really want my mind cluttered with trivia. And I have found that when I have a conversation with somebody, you know, it might be important, and I might, you know, contribute what I think is valuable to that person, but the question is it something I feel like I have to take away with me? And so, like, when I have a conversation with somebody and it's ended right there, then I kind of have an auto response that says I'm leaving it right here, and I'll walk away, and 2 days later I don't remember that conversation because it doesn't present to me the need for me to keep it in my conscious memory for my life. Now, you don't realize it, but you do that. Everybody here does that. Now, sometimes we do it by default because as we are hearing something in a class or in a conversation, we are saying to ourselves, I'll never remember this. I'll never remember this. I'll never remember this. I'm not getting this. I don't understand this. And so our self-talk is acting just like creating a program in a computer that's going to begin to run immediately when we say it. Now, here's a significant statement that you want to always remember, and that is that every ability that you have in your life, or every inability that you have in your life, so every ability or inability that you have in your life is the direct reflection of something you believe about yourself. Every ability or inability that you have in your life is a direct reflection of something you believe about yourself. You know, the person who can't remember names is the person who has convinced themselves they can't remember names. Almost all of our abilities or inabilities reflect things that we have come to believe about ourselves. Now, one of the things that we want to have happen for you as students here is we want you in this safe environment to learn how to walk in faith. We've given you a safe environment to learn how to walk in faith. Now, you say, well, you know, I don't get that. What are you talking about, a safe environment to walk in faith? We give you the opportunity to face various challenges, and most of these challenges are not challenges that are gonna ruin or they're not gonna make or ruin your life, so to speak. But it's how you handle those challenges that are gonna make or ruin your life. Because in every challenge you face, and I say this regularly, but I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I don't think you're getting it. In every challenge that you face, you have the opportunity to experience the grace of God. Significant statement there. Every challenge you face, you have the opportunity to experience the grace of God. Remember, grace being God's ability, God's capacity, God's strength. Now, the only thing that would keep you from experiencing the grace of God in any particular challenge is A, unbelief. The only thing that would keep you from experiencing the grace of God in a particular challenge is unbelief. Or B, lack of significance. In other words, you don't attach significance to what you're hearing. Or C, a limiting self-belief. Now, we talked about in Keys to Successful Living the need for you to learn to build a new track record. Very important. You have the need to build a new track record so you will have self-confidence. Remember, self-worth comes from the value that God has for you. Self-confidence comes from what you believe about your ability to perform. The person who quits a lot, whenever they get opportunity in their mind, they immediately assume they're going to quit on this too, because I always quit anyhow. Or the person who quits, who when things get hard, they go into a tizzy and pout and get mad and everything, you know, immediately they assume this is the way it's going to go. And so, no matter what your track record has been up until this point, you now have a safe environment. And safe is a key word, a safe environment for you to begin building a new track record, a new consistency, for you to begin handling life's problems in a different way. Now, failing to study or memorize something for a test isn't really going to cost you much in life. Indirectly, it may cost you some more areas of confidence. Indirectly, it may affect your sense of self-worth. It may reinforce limiting beliefs you have about yourself, but you know, it's just not going to mess up your whole world if you fail a test. But the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. In other words, what's really eating up your life is not the big things. It's the accumulation of the little things. And we think it's the big things. The Bible says the eyes of the foolish dreamer are to the ends of the earth. You know, the dreamer is just always looking, they're always looking out there for the big deal, for the big thing that's going to change everything for them. I've known people in business, you know, that they spend their whole life looking for the big deal. Sort of like the boxer that comes out, and all he's waiting for is that one opportunity to land that big right cross to knock the other guy out. And then in the end, he loses the fight because the other guy got the points. And that's kind of the way we are in life. You know, we're waiting for the big things. We're trying to win life by the big things. We're always looking out there somewhere for the big thing that's going to change our life. When in reality, it's the little things that we do every day that really make up our life. So when you start thinking about it that way, you start thinking about, you know something? If I'm taking a test that is terribly intimidating for me, and it's unpleasant for me, it's a hard test, but if I commit myself to this, and let God empower me, and if I walk this through in a different way, you know, even if I don't get the grade, that's not the point. It's how I walk it through. Even if I don't get the grade, I will have experienced what it's like to have the grace of God take me through a process in a more responsible way. Well, see, there's a thousand or a million ways that can play out in real life. It's like, you know, that won't mean anything today, but what about when you're married and there's something, your wife's birthday is coming up, and it's unpleasant for you to go shop, and so you put it off to the last minute, and then you come home with some disgusting something that she doesn't want that you got off of a sale rack at Kmart. You know, then it affects your life. See, we have this tendency to put off the unpleasant, or what we deem as unpleasant. But the truth is, most of the unpleasant things in life that we're having to deal with are simply the things that either, A, we've never done before. Most of the unpleasant things in life are things that, A, we've never done before. B, things that threaten us. C, things that we have attached no value to, or things to which we have attached no value. Or things that are hard. And you know, in offices, this is a hard thing, like in work. You know, you get a job and you're out there in the workforce. And usually it's going to be things that fit into those categories that would be the things that get you the raises, the promotions, and get you your success. And because here in a safe environment, you did not learn to get the grace of God to face things that you considered unpleasant or hard or threatening or whatever, then you get out there and you got a job. Then in the real world, guess what? Then every day you're putting off things that you consider hard, unpleasant, whatever, and you become what I call a paper shuffler. In other words, you just do busy work. And then at the end of the day, you really haven't accomplished anything, and you can't understand why you can't get ahead. And then your mind, seeking equilibrium, has got to come up with, well, I've just got too much to do. And you start coming up with the excuses for why you're not accomplishing what you want to accomplish and why you're not excelling at your work. And so there you have the American dilemma instead of the American dream, you know. I want you to understand something. Another very significant statement that you got to come to grips with. Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's a scripture that we don't really take very serious in life. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now, we won't go into it here because we've gone into it in other classes, and we will go into it in a lot in future classes. But you see, if in fact Jesus is your Lord, you do not have the right to have a view or an opinion about yourself that's inconsistent with who He says you are, with what He says you have, and what He says you can do. You do not have the right. If Jesus is your Lord, you do not have the right to have an opinion about yourself that is inconsistent with who He says you are, what He says you have, and what He says you can do. That means I do not have the right to make limiting statements about myself. I do not have the right to say that I can't do something. I might have the right to acknowledge I need to learn something before I can do this. I might have the right to acknowledge that I may need some help doing this. I may, you know, there's several things I may need to acknowledge that fit into the realm of reality, but I don't have the right to limit myself. I'm talking about within the scope of who you are in Jesus. But the struggles that we have and the self-talk that we put ourselves through when we face challenges, that's exactly what we do. That is exactly what we do. We immediately start the self-talk. And many times it's nothing more than we want to procrastinate. We'd rather watch television, play a video game, hang out with the guys, go to a movie or whatever, than study. And so now we've got to come up with a reason to do this. And so we're going to talk ourselves into a reason. I want to tell you, until your self-talk changes, your world cannot change. So I don't have the right, you don't have the right, to talk to yourself in a demeaning, limiting way. You don't have that right. You just remember, the next time you do that, that'd be like going over to Jesus' house and him having one of his children stand there beside of him, and you walk up and start saying, "Boy, that kid of yours sure is dumb." How would you like if somebody came up and said that about one of your kids? Or one of your nieces and nephews, or some child you're close to? "Boy, that kid of yours sure is dumb. I tell you, ugly too. You know? Yeah, I don't believe he'll ever amount to anything. I don't think he can do anything." See, that's exactly what you're doing when you talk to yourself in a demeaning way. You are not yours to criticize. Now, in theory, we all get that. But I'm wanting you to get past theory. I'm wanting you to get down to where you put this in practice. None of this stuff helps you until you put it into practice. So, I'm going to take you through some real simple steps to developing a good study life. And really, this will apply to almost any area of life, but I'm giving you this as a part of your study life. First of all, it is essential to find out where you're stuck. First of all, it is essential to find out where you are stuck. Now, something we are going to require of you, you know, this term you're not going to have to buy hardly any books. And we're going to give you a little discount on it. But see, I've suggested this to you a lot. Not many of you have done it. So I figure, okay, we're going to make it a requirement. This way, you got the money invested in it, you'll probably do it. You have a lot more tendency to do something if you've got something invested in. if you do not have it, each person, each student, of course, as a married couple, you won't have to have two sets, but each student will be required to have their own belief tape and their own memory supercharger. Got to be yours. You got to spend the money. I want you to have something invested in this. And I'm going to give you an assignment, just like we gave you the assignment in chapel last term for orientation. I'm continuing that assignment, or giving you an additional assignment this term. You got to find out where you're stuck. Now, in order to find out where you're stuck, it brings you to the next point, is you've got to identify what you believe. See, in every situation, every time you're facing something that you can't get past, or that you have difficulty getting past, or that every time you come to that, you're challenged. You know, you may get past it, but you feel like you're swimming with a boat anchor. Well, those are situations where you're stuck. And everywhere that you're stuck because of a self-belief. That's all it is. Now, no matter what you're facing in life, no matter how hard it is, you are only one belief away from total victory. You've got to always remember that. I mean, it does not matter where you're stuck. It does not matter how long you've had that problem. It doesn't matter how vile it is. It doesn't matter how limiting it is. It doesn't matter how negative it is. It doesn't matter how controlling it is. You are only one belief away from total victory in that area of your life. But everything that's happening in your life is happening as a product of something you believe about yourself. So, you know, anytime you're solving a problem, this is where you always start. What do I believe? What do I believe? Now, obviously, if you've got a problem that's causing you, say like for instance, you have a tendency to be real critical, you know that in order to reduce conflict, you may have to stop criticizing. But the truth is, just stopping criticizing isn't going to solve the problem, because you're not going to stop for long until you change what you believe. So, and I'm going to give you an assignment at the end of this. I'll explain what I want you to do. So every person is going to get a belief tape and a memory generator. And I want you to use this. I'm going to give you an assignment where you're going to have to use these every day for a while. And this will actually be great for you. And you can use this belief tape with any situation you face. I mean, any situation that you face where you're struggling, find out what the belief is. That's all you got to do, is find out what the belief is. Now, last quarter you got the, I think everybody got the communion with your heart. Is that right? Did everybody get that last quarter? Wasn't that part of the deal? If you didn't get it, you were supposed to. And the goal behind that, and I can tell by the way you're laughing, you didn't get it. And the goal behind that, you'll fail this term if you don't have it and use it for 30 days in a row. The goal behind that was, and I told you this at the time that I talked to you about it, was if you would use this every day, you would get to a place where you could reach the alpha state in just a matter of seconds. And when you can get to the alpha state in just a matter of seconds, you can get to the level where you can get in touch with your heart and hear what your heart is saying. So, we'll get you up to speed on that. It's going to be a little harder for you. For those of you that didn't utilize that tape any, you're going to have a little harder time with this. But you can still do this. Now, let's go through some steps. I've talked to you about these steps before. We start with, we're going to deal with what you believe. And I'm going to skip over that and come back and give you the assignment on that. But you always start with, what do I believe? That's where you're going to start. And where you're going to start with is what do I believe about my ability to learn? And that's what you're going to deal with the belief tape about, and then you're going to use a memory supercharger to overcome that. Number two, utilize affirmations at the beginning and end of every class. Now, I talked to you all about this last term, and I don't know that I ever saw anybody do it. Utilize affirmations at the beginning and end of every class. In other words, if by now you can do this without getting to the alpha state, but it works so much more powerfully if you could get to the alpha state. If you could walk in here, take yourself to the alpha state in about, take about 10 seconds to get to the alpha state, 20 seconds, all right, you know. And at the beginning of every class, you affirm to yourself, and here is your affirmation. The information that I'm about to hear is valuable to my life. And then either see or say to yourself some of the ways it's going to bring value to your life. You've got to attach value to it. If you're going to keep it in your conscious memory, if you're going to keep it where you can utilize it, you've got to attach value to it. Here is the value. Here's how it's going to help my life. So the information I'm about to hear is valuable to my life. Then the second part of the affirmation would say, every word that I hear, every word that I hear is going into my other than conscious memory. Every word that I hear is going into my other than conscious memory. And can be recalled. Whenever I need it or request it. And can be recalled whenever I need it and request it. Then you count yourself back up. Now there are other affirmations you can put in there, like I will be alert and attentive in class. I mean, you can add anything else you want, but the main thing that you've got to affirm is that everything will go into your other than conscious memory and will be available. Because, see, the truth is, everything you've ever experienced in your life is in your memory. Everything you've ever seen, everything you've ever heard. And if you learned how, you could actually recall in exact, precise detail every single event in your life. Every event. Of course, we have a lot of reasons we don't do that. A lot of things we want to forget. Then at the end of the class, it is very important to, you know, when I dismiss a class, and I watched last term to see how many, if any of you did. I never saw one person do it. And I talked to you about this at the beginning of the term last year about how to start utilizing your memory. See, this stuff only helps you do it. I'm not trying to be critical of you. I'm not trying to make you paranoid. I'm just trying to point out to you, it's easy to sit here and hear something over and over again and say, okay, I know this. It's not working. It doesn't work because you know it. As a matter of fact, you don't know it until you do it. They came to Jesus. They said, how are we going to know what you teach is true? He says, when you do it. And he said, and then in John 8, 31, 32, he said, when you put this into practice, then you'll know, nosko, experience the truth. Then the truth will set you free. See, truth can't set you free if you put it in practice. Up until then, it's just information. So at the end of every class, just stop. Take another 30 seconds. Shut your eyes. If you can take yourself to the alpha state, go to the alpha state. And in the alpha state, affirm to yourself, this information is valuable to my life. And again, remind yourself of reasons this is valuable to your life. All that I've heard and seen is in my other than conscious memory. It will be available for me or to me when needed or upon my request. It will be available to me when needed or upon my request. Count yourself back up. Walk out the door. And you've just taken steps that are more important than you'll ever realize when it comes to remembering things. Now, number three, number one was find out where you're stuck. Number two, is affirm at the beginning of each class. Number three is review your class notes daily. And this is really important. Daily, daily, daily. Something I have the hardest time getting people to understand is it's not what you binge on periodically that will change your life. It's what you will do every single day that will change your life. You know, if I'm teaching somebody to play guitar and they really want to be a good guitar player, I'd probably get you to be where you want to be and be a very good guitar player in a very rapid amount of time if I can get you to practice 10 minutes a day as opposed to practicing an hour every 3 days. Because it's what you do every day. I'm telling you, it's what you do every day. If about once a week you have an hour or two or three in prayer, the truth is that will probably not benefit you nearly as much as praying 10 minutes a day. There's something that happens when you sleep. Your mind goes through certain types of processing when you're asleep. And when you sleep, your mind begins to resolve the issues of the day. And I can't go into all of that here about what happens in sleep. I don't even know what all happens in sleep. But we do know that your mind processes things. I think your mind, we know one thing, that in your sleep, you actually process things that your conscious mind didn't want to process. And many times that's reflected in your dreaming. But I think also in sleep, our mind kind of winnows away the insignificant things. You know, it's amazing what you can sleep on that will get more clear to you. It's amazing what you can sleep on that you'll forget. And part of that is about significance, how significant it is to you. So one of the things that you know is that there are things you want to do before you go through the sleep process. And when you're studying something like this, it goes back to the 5 or 10 minutes a day as opposed to an hour or 5 hours the night before the test. If you go home that day, now you might not be able to do it immediately because you may have to go to work. You might do it at a break, at a work break, or you might do it at lunch if you have a lunch break at work, or do it when you come in. But sit down, and when you get ready to study, once again, take yourself down to the alpha state before you study. Reaffirm to yourself. Reaffirm why this information is valuable. Reaffirm that it is in your other than conscious memory and that it is available for your use upon need or upon request. So just 30 seconds. And as you read through your notes, this is where you clean up your notes. And it's very important as you go back and read through your notes, it's very important that you clean them up, make them more understandable. So that means you may do some rewriting of your notes, you know, places that you've used symbols and this sort of thing, you write the words in, or particularly as you're going back and reviewing your notes and something pops into your memory about that part of the lecture that you didn't have written down, write it down. But clean up your notes on a daily basis, or at least review them on a daily basis. Now, when you're reviewing your notes, one of the things that you want to do, you can do this with your notes, but you specifically want to do this if you're studying with your study guide. If you're studying with your study guide, the answers to the study guide questions, be sure to attach some significance to those answers. Why will knowing this answer benefit you? Now, see, that's really hard for you. And one of the things that makes learning hard is, see, we're trying to prepare you to do something you've never done, so the problem is you don't know what's significant. You think you do. All students think they know, but they don't. You know, if you're learning to be an auto mechanic, they may teach you some little seemingly insignificant step in tuning the engine, you know, and And you may not see the significance of that step, and so when you come to it, you kind of just jump over it, and guess what? The car won't start. See, because you thought that step was insignificant. It didn't make sense to you when you did it, so you didn't see any reason to put so much detail in it. Well, see, because you'd never done that before, you didn't know why it was significant. So it is pretty challenging sometimes to say, you know, what good does it do me to know about the church at Antioch? Well, you got to find a reason. Well, the church at Antioch, you know, it's important for me to understand that and recognize that God raised up Jerusalem, and Jerusalem didn't answer the call, and He had to raise up somebody else that was outside the religious concept to go out and reach the world, you know. And how does that apply to my life? Well, I don't want to get stuck in these religious things, and I want to stay flexible, and I want to stay the kind of individual, and I want our church to stay the kind of church, you know, that doesn't get stuck in religion. God can use whatever, but you got to find some way, particularly on your study guide, to attach significance to those answers. Now, number four, use repetition. By the way, in reviewing your notes for a class, it shouldn't take you over. I mean, unless you do a lot of real serious stuff, it shouldn't take you over 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. Use repetition. Now, under this, I'm going to give you four points that are very, very simple. See, repetition is one of the easiest ways to learn. But you got to understand how to use repetition to make it work for you. Number one, on your study guides, write and say your answer every time. Don't just say it. Write it and say it. In other words, read the question, say the answer out loud, and write it. This is so incredibly important. Actually, even writing it is more important than saying it. And when you write your answers for your study guide, don't do it on a computer or on a typewriter. Do it longhand. Print it, you know. You actually write it. It will be ingrained into your memory that way. It will not be if you do it on a typewriter. Now, when you're studying, this is a second. A is write and say the answers. B, what I want to call this method. I'll come up with a name for this in a minute, but let me show you how to do it. So you got question number one. You read question number one, you say, and you write the answer. Then you cover up question number one, cover up the answer, and you say and write it again. So now, you have just had a success. I know the answer to number one. And you don't move to number two until you can say and write the answer. Then when you go to number two, you will read the question, you will say and write the answer to number two. Then you cover up the answers to one and two, and you say and write the answers to one and two. You don't just do two, you do one and two. And until you can say and write the answers to one and two, you don't move on. Then when you go to number three, read the question, say and write your answer, then cover up all three of them, say and write the answers to one, two, and three. So now, you've successfully got one, two, and three. You do the same thing. You go to number four, read the question, say and write the answer, and then cover up all of these and say and write all of them again. One, two, three, and four. And what will happen is if you will use this process, let's call this the backstepping process, because you're backstepping every time you come to a new question. The backstepping process. If you'll use this, then when you get to the end of your study guide, whether it's 10 or 20 questions, you'll know every one of them. And I'm telling you, this works. This works every time. Then number C, which I'd already mentioned, is attach significance to every answer. Attach significance to every answer. Why is it important? And then D, create a visualization. Now, there's all kinds of memory systems out there, and I may at some point in time come in and teach you a real simple memory system. There's a memory system for remembering numbers and words and all this kind of stuff. But the key thing behind every memorization system is attaching a visualization to the answer. And the more bizarre that visualization is, the more likely you are to remember it. Like, for instance, if it says that Paul and Barnabas were at the church at Antioch, and you're trying to figure out, okay, how can I remember that Paul was at the church of Antioch? I mean, you may create a picture of Paul sitting on the top of a steeple on a big old building. The reason that comes to my mind is there's a Baptist church in North Huntsville called Antioch. You know, it looks real churchy. It's got a big old steeple. You create a picture of Paul sitting on top of that big steeple, real uncomfortable. Yeah. I mean, create any kind of visualization you can. If you can get a clear visualization, then when you come back to that answer or to that question, that picture will come to your mind. But using the backstepping method, you probably won't even need a visualization. Number five, if you procrastinate, use the automatic pilot tape. If you procrastinate, use the automatic pilot tape. The procrastination is always a process that you talk yourself into. And because you talk yourself into it, you have a reason to do it. And so the automatic pilot tape helps you identify what it is you say to yourself when you get ready to procrastinate. And the real truth, the bottom line, when it gets down to procrastination, the truth is, you are attaching more pleasure to whatever trivial things you're doing than you are to accomplishing your goals here. And it's always about pain and pleasure. You're looking at studying as pain, and you're looking at whatever it is you're going to goof off and do as pleasure. And you've convinced yourself there will be more pleasure in procrastinating than there will be in doing the job. That's all it is. So find out what it is you're saying to yourself to convince yourself and learn to change your self-talk. Also, and this would be A under procrastination, is attach massive amounts of pleasure to your studying. And the only way you can do that is to get into a meditative state, look ahead, and start seeing how you would feel about yourself, and start seeing all of the pleasure and all the benefits and all the joy that would come into your life from living your dream, which means I've got to prepare to do it. And then think about all the pain that would come into your life if you goof off and mess up all the way through school. How are you going to feel about yourself? What's going to happen to yourself if you don't live your dreams? What's going to happen to yourself if you blow this opportunity that you have? And when you can attach massive amounts of pain to your procrastination and massive amounts of pleasure to applying yourself, then the truth is you'll never have a problem with it. You'll end up, your self-talk will automatically become talking yourself into doing it rather than talking yourself out of doing it. Number seven, when you take a test, before that test, always shut your eyes, relax a minute, affirm to yourself that you have all of this information and it is available to you upon your request, and that as you read these questions, the answers will come into your conscious memory. Affirm that. Relax. Even force yourself to smile. Count yourself back up. Take the test. Now, when taking a test, immediately run through and answer all the ones that are easiest for you. Any place you get stuck, just go over it. And do not say anything negative to yourself about the questions you're having trouble with. Don't do it. The minute you start telling yourself you can't remember, you can't. Matter of fact, you might want to make a deliberate point when you come up on something that's difficult. It's like, this answer will come to me, not when I come back to it. And just go on over it. So usually when you relax, you remember something. You know, you guys will see me do this in class a lot. I'll start to make a statement and I can't remember it. And I'll say, you know, I don't recall that, but it'll come to me in a minute. And then I just go on and it always comes to me. But you know, if I were to say it another way, just say, I can't remember that, it would not come back to me. I mean, you cannot, you know, your self-talk governs what's going to come out of your inner man, what's going to come out of your memory, what's going to come out of your heart. So, go over all the ones that you know and come back then and start to do the ones you don't know. And just continue affirming to yourself, I have this answer. This sounds so incredibly simple, but it's so true. Anytime that the answer's coming to you, and it actually stimulates a part of your brain that causes you to access memory. Now, when you take a test, if you don't do well on it, you just don't do well on it. You don't have negative self-talk about that. You know, as a matter of fact, be blatantly honest with yourself. If you procrastinated and you didn't study, remind yourself, this is the pain of procrastination. Immediately, do not schedule your... Boy, this is crazy. This is whack the way you guys do this. You all will wait a week. You know, you're supposed to always do it within a week, but you'll wait a week and then ask for another week to take a makeup test. That is absurd. You are now so far removed from that material that you cannot benefit from it. If you fail a test, try to take that makeup test the next day. Try not to go more than 2 days. And take your step, go right back through the backstepping method for recalling it. And then go back in and take the test within a day or two. See, you don't want to have 5 more classes and 5 more tests that you're studying for before you come in and take that test again. Now, here is your assignment. And then we'll cut the tape off and let you ask some questions. Here's your assignment for this quarter for chapel. I want you to use the belief tape and discover what you believe about your ability to learn. I want you to use the belief tape and discover what you believe about your ability to learn. Now, the belief tape on one side, it helps you identify where you created negative beliefs. On the other side, it helps you identify steps to take to come out of that. And then I want you to use the memory supercharger. I'd like for you to use it at least every day for 7 days after you finish with the belief tape. And then 2 weeks from now, you'll have 2 full weeks, I want you to write me a paper about what you discovered about your beliefs.